Hi, I'm Chris Plum, head coach and CEO of Cromwell Swim Club. This is the Off the Deck podcast. Off the Deck champions Cromwell Swim Club's mission, teaching excellence through swimming for life. Cromwell Swim Club is building a pool and it is naming it the Cromwell Swim Academy. Cromwell Swim Academy will provide an entry point for more children in central Indiana to have access to life-saving programs. We are compelled to use our expertise in swimming to make our community safer and ensure every child has the opportunity to learn to swim. To learn more, visit www.carmelswimacademy.org. Gain Swimming is also a sponsor of the Off the Deck podcast. Gain Swimming is the gold standard in dry land training. If you are interested in a consultation, please contact Chris Webb at chris@thegainnetwork.com. To learn more, visit www.thegainnetwork.com/gainswimming. And now, let's get on with our show. Hello, this is Chris Plum again, Off the Deck podcast. Very excited about my guest today. We have the coach slash former USA swimmer, now coaching again, Jamie Lewis. Jamie has a rich history of swimming in the golf swimming, Texas swimming, and USA swimming. She grew up swimming for the Woodland swim team and later at the University of Florida. As a swimmer, Jamie was a UIL high school state record holder, NCAA All-American, USA national team member, where she finaled at the World University Games, the USA Olympic trials qualifier, and semifinalist. As a coach, Jamie has been a part of many programs across the country, including Fleet as age group coach, the University of Houston Cougars, and at the Gator Swim Club in Gainesville. She was recently working at USA Swimming, and now she stepped back on the pool deck to be head coach at Fleet Swimming. So, quite a whirlwind, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
How are you?
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Feeling good. Glad to be back on deck and just going through the motions with, like, as all coaches do.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And I know you got to miss the COVID coaching part, so good for you. But you and I met in a beautiful place, Hawaii. We need to go back, right? So Hopefully we can get another trip again together out there. So you've been to Tokyo. You've been all over the world recently. What has life been like being able to travel all over for swimming?
It was incredible. I think my husband probably enjoyed it more because he got to tag along. That was always like the running joke, was like I had to go and work and he got to go and have fun and play. But yeah, it was great to be able to travel and see different parts of the world and see all kinds of fast swimming. Working at USA Swimming, I had so many opportunities that I didn't even imagine I would have, and it was great to see that side of things for sure.
Yeah. So what, tell us from your perspective, what did you went to Tokyo, right?
Yes.
And tell us, give us some background. What was that like over there? COVID, fast swimming, seeing it firsthand. And, what were your takeaways from the meet?
Well, the meet was incredible. It was a bit sad, walking around the venues, not even any domestic spectators because at first we were hopeful that there was going to be domestic, and then they, pulled the plug on that, late in the game. But so it was a little sad walking around, like seeing all the tents where they were going to be selling gear and stuff, like we're all closed up. But it was incredible to see the athletes there, like really step up and do what they've trained so hard to do. And after overcoming what many of them overcame through the COVID year, not just like the highs and lows of training for an Olympics, but also adding into that, the COVID year, it was incredible to see those performances live.
Do you have a favorite performance that you watched?
Let's see. It was probably it's so close. Emma Wyant's 400 IM was incredible. Both of Bobby Fink's races. And then I really enjoyed watching Lydia's 100 breast. I was at USA Swimming. I was the staff liaison for senior development committee. So Lydia was one of our athlete reps for that committee. So that just held a special place in for me watching her.
Yeah, I mean, a teenager breaststroke, that was special. That was fun. So
yeah.
Well, good. And let's start from the beginning, Jamie. How did you first get involved in the sport? Like, what brought you to the water?
Oh wow, we're going way back. Okay.
Yeah,
so
way back. Yeah.
So actually I started swimming, as you said, in the Houston area, summer league. My brother and sister swam summer league. And so I just kind of fell into it. I'm the youngest, and was just drug along, and they actually had to throw me in the pool at my first race. Like, I did not want to dive in and I was scared of the blocks. So they had to throw me in the pool. And, I guess you could say from there, I never really looked back. So
you got thrown into summer league. Did you win that race because they threw you far, or did they?
I think the story goes that I did win the race, but who knows?
And so obviously you became a very successful swimmer in high school, and that brought you to the University of Florida. Obviously that is one of the most challenging places to swim, but tremendous success and history of just elite performances. So how did you, like, were you ready? Did you know what you're getting into in Florida? And then what was that experience like for you at the University of Florida?
Well, I really don't know if I knew exactly what I was getting myself into. But my club program growing up was, they were known to really put in a lot of yardage, and I was a distance swimmer. So I think I was well prepared for it. And obviously, like everybody, you have your ups and downs through your career. And, I think it's challenging to make it, and no matter where you are, to make it 4 years swimming in college. And, I think it says a lot about people that can do that. But I learned a lot. Coach Troy and Coach Nesty are still, and Coach Wilby are still to this day, like, some of my closest friends, and talk to all three of them, often, and still asking them questions about coaching and swimming, and bouncing ideas off of them. So to me, it was just like forever friendships, and a great experience looking back on it.
Yeah, I think that's, you bring up a great point, just the relationships you establish as an athlete and coaches, and now you still look to those guys as your mentors. What kind of coach, given your coaches that you've had, do you try to be for your athletes, Jamie?
My biggest thing is, like, I want these, obviously you want them to swim fast. Like, that's a no brainer, right? Like, you're a swim coach. But to me, like, being a successful coach is knowing that they're growing up and, someday they're going to be a successful lawyer or teacher or swim coach, or, just successful in life, a great parent. I was just talking with Martin the other day, and he was like, "You'd be so proud of your boy." He's, and was like, telling me about how Mason was doing at Kentucky. And, I was just like, it really did make me so proud knowing, like, he's doing so well, both in and out of the water. So,
and, you mentioned three great names at Florida, the coaches. What do you think some of the biggest lessons that you took away from those guys? And I'm sure each of them might have a little different take on what you took, right? Like, a little different spin on that.
There's so much. Right. I don't know. I think one of the things that I continue to talk with my athletes about is expecting the unexpected. We just talked about it last night. We have a meet this weekend, and I kind of, like, was like, had them do something, and and made them leave early. Like I set them off early and they're like, we weren't supposed to go yet. And I was like, well, expect the unexpected, you know, like I screwed up, but you know, like, what are we going to learn from this? So, that's one thing I feel like, Troy hit a lot was, you know, don't always be in comfortable situations. I remember we would go to dual meets and, you know, the travel arrangements wouldn't be great. And it was like, he purposely did that so that when we got to the end of the year, if something happened and everything wasn't ideal, like we knew how to like react and still get up and be able to swim fast no matter what.
Yeah. And I remember hearing about Bob Bowman, he would make Michael take his goggles off, right, and do races. So is it that kind of thing you're speaking of, or?
Yeah. So I actually, we were doing like, a little bit of pace work and I made them at the last round, I made them take their goggles off and they were like, what? Huh? They're like freaking out. And then I was like, okay, on the 50, ready, go. And they're like, we're not supposed to leave till the top. Like, okay.
All so, right. I'm going to bring that up. We're going to try that. I'll blame Jamie Lewis on that. That's great stuff. So, and I know you were at USA Swimming for 5 years and then you came back to coaching. Let's dive into that a little bit. Did you gain perspective being away from the sport? You know, because I know like when you're coaching, you're there every day, you're involved, you're writing workouts, you're dealing with all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden it's just all gone. Was there a perspective that you picked up in your time away from that being like responsible every day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, you're still busy, right? Like it's just a different kind of busy. But it was really awesome to see the other side of the sport. You know, obviously as a swimmer, I've seen that side. As a coach, you know, you see that side. But seeing what goes into everything on a day-to-day basis. I remember when I was taking the job, or right after I had gone over there, one of my former swimmers was like, what do you do on a daily basis? And it was kind of like, what is there possibly to do, you know? And there's a lot, like there is a lot that goes into the organization that people don't realize. And the organization offers a lot to clubs that people don't realize. But yeah, so it was great to see. When I first went over, I was in the events, was over with events with Dean Ekren, and seeing everything that goes into all of that, especially going, cause I went into the role right before trials in 2016. So, kind of came in once everything was kind of done, you know, but, seeing everything leading into that. And then also on the backside of that, seeing how far out they were planning for 2020 trials it's just incredible to see everything that goes into that.
Yeah. Are there any things that maybe you could tell the audience here that that go on, like what is some of those things that we don't know about? I mean, I know I've emailed you a couple times about times and injuries, but I'm sure there's a lot, and I know there's a lot because when USA Swimming does host an event, they seem to go off very well, and there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes on that I think a lot of people are just really not aware of.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is there's a lot of really great people that come together to help put those events on. And from the very get-go of like site visits, you know, it's more than just like showing up and the build starts, right? Like there's multiple site visits before talking about where things are going to go and whatnot. But, you know, just all the people that are experts in their area coming together to make sure that it goes off without a flaw. It is pretty incredible. So.
And then, you know, you probably had to deal with a lot of the times and emailing the coaches and dealing with that. I know I had several questions along the way. Was that a majority of your job or was that just part of it? You know, help us out there.
Yeah. So that was just when I was in the event side, that was just a very, very small part of it. So I oversaw OME, so the online meet entry, which everyone is probably super familiar with. And big shout out to Macy right now because I actually had to call her this week to ask her a couple questions. So, It was more of like, I know this can be done, but I can't do it. Can you do it? And so she was kind of, she was hooking me up a little bit there. But so that was a part of it. In that role, also overseeing the NCAA side of things. So currently, USA Swimming it oversees the NCAA times, the database, and then also selections. So that was my main role. And that's currently Macy's role when I first went over to USA Swimming in 2016.
Right. So I did. So I don't know if everyone knows that. So USA Swimming manages all the time database for the NCAA.
Yes. Yeah. And so when I took on at swimming, I started in January of 2016, also finishing out the coaching season there at Gator. It was just the prime season for NCAA. And it was like drinking from a fire hose. So, but yeah, it was, so that's a big part of it. And that is, it's not all year long, but it is a good steady chunk from September through March, obviously.
And then tell us about what you were doing at trials. And I knew you kind of doing some of the behind the scenes work with the TV and like maybe prepping the announcers. I don't know, help us out there.
Yeah, so that was just something, another thing I just kind of fell into again in 2016 when I started. The person that was supposed to go to Rio in that role for NBC couldn't go. And so it was, I think, May, they came to me and they're like, hey, can you do this? And I was like, you mean you want me to go to the Olympics and work for NBC? Yeah, you know, right? Like, I always dreamed about going to the Olympics and never thought it would be going with NBC, but yeah, let's do it. And so that was, my first kind of taste in the role was at trials in 2016. And so I guess what a lot of people don't know is, Mike Unger is a huge part in that, but we help provide information to the commentators. And so we have this database that was built. They're called lane sheets, and we print those out for them. And we have production meetings prior to each session that we're on air. And we go through each heat that we're covering, talk about the different athletes, and try to talk about like what's going to happen in the races. And then during the races, actually live, I was considered the stats person. So I'm holding up note cards, like telling them, you know, if there was some sort of special stat for that race or anything that you can think of, you know, if it was a best time for the person, obviously if it was an American record, and then at the Olympic Games was able to do the same thing. So, you know, you see a little bit world records and whatnot. But yeah, just feeding them any additional information and helping them out as much as possible.
Yeah, that's a cool job. You're one of those people like, it went really well. Thank you. And if it doesn't go wrong, you're in big trouble, right? Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like coaching.
Yeah. It was in 2016, I had to like bite my tongue a bit. You know, you get on social and you see like all the complaints about the media coverage, and it's like people just don't understand like what goes into it. And don't understand that, you know, Rowdy gets a lot of crap, but he's a really good dude. And people don't realize that he has like three or four people talking to him in his ear while he's trying to talk and also, you know, have a conversation with Dan. So, or whomever he's calling the race with. So it's a lot. And, you know, I wish people understood that, but.
Yeah. I can't even think sometimes with nobody in my head. I couldn't imagine three people talking.
Exactly.
To me.
Plus somebody throwing cards in front of your face.
Yeah. You throwing cards in their face. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, we probably do have a little bit of a legitimate media complaint here from Carmel in the fact that nobody got to watch Jake's Mitchell's time trial. So I do have to throw that out there because that's what I always hear. People are like, I wanted to see that in NBC, blah, blah, blah.
All I can say is all the swimming people were doing whatever we could to make that happen, and it just didn't happen. So
I'm sure if they'd known he would have gotten the time ahead of time, they would have shown it, and it was a very cool moment. So
yeah.
But back to you. So in the time you're at USA Swimming, you're like, hey, I'm going to have two children. And you became a mom. And, you know, you're like, now that you're still a mom, obviously you're still a mom, but you're a mom and you're like, hey, I'm going to be back on the pool deck. So was that, did that hold you back? And how are you going to prepare yourself to be a mom and coach?
So, I mean, obviously it's a very, it was kind of a scary leap. The draw to Fleet, was that we have family all around the Houston area. And we've already taken advantage of that. So, my husband actually had to drive to Colorado last night to get the rest of our stuff because it didn't all make it. And I've got a swim meet tonight. And so my mother-in-law's picking up the kids at school and taking them for the weekend. So, you know, had we been anywhere else, it wouldn't have worked. I mean, we've, you know, yes, you make it work, but, just having all that family around it has been key. You know, the kids have been sick a lot lately, like new daycare, new germs. And my mom came out the last week, couple days to help out so I could get some stuff done. And, so definitely having that family support was key in making that leap. My husband's always been very supportive. We've obviously, you talked about the number of places that I've been. And so we've obviously moved for most of those. And fortunately he has a job that he can work anywhere. And, you know, neither of us really wanted to leave Colorado. We really loved Colorado and Colorado Springs, but, he knew that I had a passion to be back on deck and, has always been very supportive of me and my career.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know I'm excited to have you back on the pool deck. I know you did tremendous things with the swimmers at Gator Swim Club. And I certainly, it was wonderful to get to know you. We got to hang out in Maui. So we need to get our athletes back. Is USA Swimming, are we going back there soon? Is that going to happen?
Well, to be honest, I don't think anyone really knows because the FINA schedule has been all jacked up because of COVID. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to give Dean a call.
Yeah. Well, that's a little extra motivation for all of us who've been to Maui, coached in Maui and got to go hang out another week.
Yeah. Justin and I still to this day talk about that trip. That was awesome.
It's one of my favorite places on Earth. Maybe I just need to take my Carmel team to Maui swim meet. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we can do that. So now that you're back on deck, what are your plans? And, you know, as you evaluate Fleet swimming, you know, what kind of stamp do you want to leave on the program? And what are you kind of getting your team ready for and prepared for to post COVID here?
To be honest, that is a work in progress. You know, coming in 6 weeks into the season, by the time I stepped on deck, they had already been in the water 6 weeks. So, you know, that was a little bit challenging just coming in, you know, as they're already in the water. We're going to winter juniors and those that aren't qualified are just going to do the local champs meet here. And then we're going to focus in on sectionals in the spring. And then those that are qualified will do the April national meet. From there, I haven't really thought about it. Yeah, I'm trying to. But I mean, as far as like my stamp on the program, I think it goes back to what we talked about in making sure these athletes are not just great swimmers, but great people, that, you know, colleges will come and recruit and can come back and say, you know, wow, they were a really great athlete and person. And it was great for them to be a part of the program. And then, you know, down the road, employees coming back and adding to the program as someday they have their kids swimming on the program, which we currently have. We have quite a few people on the team that, have athletes. Their parents swam for Clayton Cagle back in the day. And so, you know, I think just continuing that rich tradition of family and that positive culture.
And, you know, is there a part of you, like, so that's your hometown. Do you feel like it's your like extra motivation to get Houston swimming up in, like, I mean, what does that mean to you? Like, I know if I was in Buffalo, I would take it a little bit more personally. Not that I don't here in Carmel, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think golf swimming has a lot of potential. I mean, obviously the Houston area is massive, and I think I'm going to take it one, like you said, one day at a time, and I'm going to focus in on fleet and make sure that we are in the spot where I think we should be, and hopefully that helps the rest of the golf and stepping up and becoming more of a impact on USA swimming.
Yeah. So what do you think, you know, your club's biggest challenges moving forward, as you see, you've been there a little bit and Houston swimming, like what do you see like, oh, this is the thing we're going to need to overcome to be really successful here?
Change is hard for a lot of people. There was a little bit of a culture. This team has been through a lot recently, I don't know.
Sounds like you need to, you know, steady the ship and be the person for people to be with, right? And just be there for people.
Yeah, that's kind of been my approach. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're asking kind of where we're going swimming wise, to be very honest, that has been the last thing on my mind, right, because of everything this team has been through. And I've been trying to not come in and make this huge splash. So I think that's probably going to be the hardest thing, because that was very much out of my comfort zone. When I've gone into programs or even at USA Swimming, it was, you know, going into a new role, like you want to get in there and you want to make a huge impact as soon as possible. Or like as a coach, you want to go in and you want to like stand your ground and you want them to know like, hey, I'm serious. Like these things are not going to fly or whatnot. I haven't taken that approach for a number of reasons. And so I think there are still going to be some challenges up ahead that, you know, people are going to think, oh, you're female, you're a mom, mm-hmm. or you're whatever. And just try and get away with a few things. But kind of making that change will probably be pretty difficult, but we'll cross that bridge and I'm prepared for it.
Yeah. So, do you think, I know it did for me, but having children has changed how you've approached coaching?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you say that, because I don't know because I waited so long to have children, I don't know if it was having children or just age and mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah.
I definitely think I have like a little bit of more of a softer side than obviously when I was coaching here right out of college. It was like, is my way or the highway. Everything is, there is no gray area. It is black. It is white. Yeah. I don't have that as much anymore. I think, if you talk to Troy, you'd probably disagree, but, I think I'm sure there are things that I'm going to, come across situations that I will definitely pull on my experience with my own children more. And obviously I didn't have that before. And then in talking with parents alone, like knowing that I have children, they talk to me a little bit differently.
Yes.
It's already happened in the month and a half that I've been here. So.
Yeah. They look at you and you're like, you just kind of can look at each other in the eye and yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, good. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. So, okay. I'm going to ask you just some questions that get easier as they go. All right. So my first question is, anybody in history, who would you like to do a social kick with?
anyone in history?
Yeah. Anytime. And we always go with the assumption that, they know how to kick with a ball.
Right. Okay. Let's see. A social kick. I think I would probably say well, this is kind of, I don't know. So Summer Sanders was a huge role model of mine. And like, the, I don't know, I feel kind of cheesy saying that because I actually got to meet her when I was in Rio with NBC. So I was like totally geeking out, but yeah, that would be pretty cool. Summer Sanders.
Summer Sanders. Yeah. What were three songs on your pre-race playlist?
Jeez, I don't know. That was way too long ago.
Come on, we need some insight into the mind of Jamie Lewis.
I didn't listen to music going up to the block, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so sorry.
You're just meditating back there. All right, that's fine.
I mean, I had like my little pre-race.
What's three songs on your workout playlist now? I know you go to Orange Theory, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Hold on. Let me look.
Here we go. All right. We're getting.
Let's see. It actually is my son's playlist. So.
So you got some, what we got on there? Some kid bop or something?
Oh, no. We listen to whatever we like. Okay. So actually Tuesday was his birthday and we did a dance party in the living room for his birthday.
Right, let's hear it.
And so The Middle by Maren Morris. Okay. That was on, we did that. Sugar by Maroon 5. And then let's see what else. No, I'm not saying that one. Meant to Be, Florida Georgia Line and BB Rexha.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I like country music, so it's kind of hard to find the ones that are like super up.
Well, that's why you moved to Houston. They have better country music than in Colorado Springs, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So now that you're coaching again, what song would you least like to pop up during practice?
We don't listen to music during practice. You guys all listen to music?
Oh, heck yeah. We need it. It brings the energy.
Yeah. So I have actually thought about that. I need to look into getting a speaker out there. But let me see. Ask the question again.
What song would you least like to pop up during practice?
Oh, the one that was on the top of my son's list. The cowboy one. What is it? Old Town Road.
Old Town Road.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
It's not really country either. I understand.
No.
So if you could post a billboard at your pool for everyone to read, what would it say?
I don't know. What would it say? I mean, something positive. I don't know. I'm like very much a focus on the solution, focus on like the, not the problem, like what, how do we figure this out? So something along those lines of like,
solve the problem. How about
that?
All right. All right. So this will go quick. You swimming in the deep end or the shallow end? You personally?
Deep end.
Long warm up or short warm up?
Long.
Early to the block or last to the block?
Early.
If you could change the IM order and have a perfect IM order, what would it be?
I wouldn't change it.
You like it. Okay.
Yeah.
Kickboard or no kickboard?
Depends.
Okay. Would you rather be in a pool that's too cold or too warm?
Too warm.
Lane leader or caboose?
Oh, leader.
Oh, yeah. And lastly, what is your favorite Gatorade color?
Lemon lime.
Lemon lime? Oh, I did not peg you for lemon lime. I thought you'd be a little more like orange being a Gator.
No, I actually gave it up for Lent one year, that's a whole nother story, but and the trainers at Florida were like, what are you doing? Like, you need to hydrate and you can't give up like the only thing you drink.
You're supposed to give up like candy. You're giving up Gatorade.
Well, I was kind of obsessed with it. So, okay. Yeah.
Jamie, this has been fun. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up here?
No, I think I mean, it's been so much fun to be back on deck and like, all the feels of coaching and just really enjoying it. And I am excited for Winter Juniors because I'll be able to be there on deck as a coach and see half of the U.S. and they're all my coaching buddies and looking forward to it.
I guess I'll probably next see you probably in April in person, April. Well, thank you for coming on, Jamie. Really appreciate it. And best of luck on the pool deck. We're very excited. And I know you got to get in our text chain again. So I know that's a big moment for you.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right.